W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A federal appeals court in Georgia has rejected an appeal by former Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows to move his election interference case to federal court. The higher court ruled that the events that Meadows is accused of were not part of his official duties, as he claimed. Pope Francis's Roman Catholic clergy can bless same-sex couples. This man was outside New York St. Patrick's Cathedral.
That's between them and God, and whatever you do is between you and God. So that's the way I look at it.
The rules stop short of allowing same-sex marriages. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin announced a multinational naval task force to deal with Houthi attacks on commercial ships in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. Senate Republicans and Democrats say they're making slow progress on a supplemental funding bill for Israel and Ukraine, but they aren't likely to reach an agreement on one by the end of the year. This is ABC News.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Craigscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We're hearing from the first fake elector about efforts to declare Donald Trump the winner of Wisconsin's presidential votes 3 years ago. Andrew Hitt says the Trump campaign told him the documents they were signing were a backup in case the former president won a legal challenge.
So we viewed what we were doing as simply a contingency plan. The documents we signed would have no meaning unless a court gave them meaning.
Hitt tells WISN-TV's Upfront he's cooperating with a federal investigation. COVID-19 cases are trending up in Wisconsin. More than 400 people were in the hospital at last word, and 46 of them were in the ICU. State health officials say only 12% of eligible adults in Wisconsin have had the latest COVID vaccine. RSV and flu cases are up, too. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The United States Department of Agriculture issued an important finding for the Nemadji Trail Energy Center project on Friday. The USDA Rural Utility Service issued a finding of no significant impact on the environment for the proposed natural gas plant, which would occupy about 26 acres near Superior, Wisconsin. There are still hurdles to get past before the project can officially break ground, but the ruling from the USDA affirms the energy plant's role in supporting the transition to clean energy. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation have announced over $5 billion in available funding for local transportation services that serve seniors and those with disabilities. According to a press release, the funds for the grant program will be provided by the bipartisan infrastructure law. In the press release, Governor Evers said, quote, "If folks anywhere in Wisconsin need help getting to a grocery store, a job, or a medical appointment, they should have good, safe options." And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The Packers lose to the Buccaneers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a back-and-forth battle of the Bays before the Buccaneers took over in the second quarter and never looked back. The final 34-20 in favor of Tampa. Buccaneers receiver Chris Godwin, over 150 yards on 10 catches. Quarterback Baker Mayfield.
Guy's just so consistent, man. Can't say enough about him. A true stud, true professional.
Buccaneers head coach Todd Bowles.
You know, we're playing good December football right now. We won three. We got three more to go. We can't rest. We can't stop. We got to keep working.
The Packers tied the game 10-10 in the first quarter, then just couldn't seem to make the adjustments. Matt LaFleur.
Give Tampa a ton of credit. They came in, they whooped us in every phase, outcoached us, outplayed us. We got to play better. We got to coach better.
At 6-8, how will this young team respond? Jordan Love.
It's what we've been doing the whole season. It's you know, how do we respond? How do we bounce back? Find a way to get better, focus on that, and make sure we go get a win.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports from Lambeau Field, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds for tonight, lows into the single digits. More sunshine than clouds with a little less wind for tomorrow, highs in the low 30s. Sunshine's back and warming up to the mid-30s on Wednesday. Clouds return Thursday, high upper 30s with a slight chance of rain. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Monday happier happy hour. Can we acknowledge that the legal defenses, or at least the self-serving truth tour of Andrew Hitt, left more questions than answers?
Former Wisconsin GOP chair, false elector, and recent settlee of a civil case. Yes, I have many questions for Mr. Hitt. Also, what? Michael Best Strategies, a smart attorney guy. Should be. Apparently got tricked. Was tricked, Jerry, by the Trump campaign. Thank you once again, Nate, for cutting up the sound over from up front. Matt Smith interviewing Andrew Hitt over the weekend.
Now, Dom, usually I take the bull by the horns, but I know you were offended by something Trump said over the weekend. What was it? What was it?
I don't know which one. I mean, the immigrants poisoning the blood thing, that's a consistent theme with Trump. Yeah, I got a problem with that. You know, aside from the fact that he's got a couple of kids from immigrant wives, you know, I mean, what, dude? So, but yeah, what it's very, the comparisons continue I hate to bring it up, man, but these authoritarian types, the Nazi types, right? When you talk about your political opponents being vermin, we talk about, you know, the immigrants poisoning the blood of your people kind of stuff. Aside from the massive hypocrisy and all that, and then what? Praising Viktor Orban, praising Kim Jong-un, praising Putin. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how this guy is leading. I mean, Republicans, man, what happened? Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. They're like, Mr. Putin, build that wall. You know, it's not even what it once used to be. And that was pretty rough back then. It's over the top. And he continues as the pressure mounts, as the time goes by, as the clock continues to tick, so goes the days of our lives. And Trump is getting nuttier and nuttier and more vitriolic in his language.
Okay, if we must. Afternoon coverage from thehill.com. Trump draws Nazi comparisons in Biden counterattack with immigration rhetoric. Brett Samuels over at thehill.com. Former President Trump is escalating his rhetoric. Escalating, yeah. Dom. That escalated quickly. Escalating his rhetoric around immigration with less than a month ago before the Iowa caucuses. Even as Biden's campaign counterattacks by arguing. He's parroting Nazis. Trump, in separate events over the weekend, claimed Mike Ritz were poisoning the blood of our country and posed an increased terrorism risk. And he equated the influx of migrants at the southern border to an invasion. The poisoning the blood remark is not the first time Trump has used that line, which the Anti-Defamation League and others have said echoes the rhetoric of Adolf Hitler, who wrote in Mein Kampf that the German blood was being poisoned by Jews. Now, Biden campaign spokesperson Amar Moussa said that Trump had parroted Adolf Hitler at Saturday's rally. Trump is not shying away from his plan to lock up millions of people in detention camps and continues to lie about that time when Joe Biden obliterated him by over 7 million votes 3 years ago. Ooh, that one's got a sting. Scoreboard! Look at the scoreboard! Of course, they don't look at the scoreboard, Dom. Sort of a Patrick Mahomes, the refs robbed me sort of a thing they do. One more, Dom. White House Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates also criticized Trump in a separate statement, echoing the grotesque rhetoric of fascists and violent white supremacists and threatening to oppress those who disagree with the government are dangerous attacks on the dignity and right of all Americans, on our democracy, and on public safety. And Don, Biden officials previously compared Trump's rhetoric to World War II era dictators when the former president described his political opponents as vermin who posed a threat to the country from within. Well, he's been saying that about the media for a long time, fella. So
844-967-2789. Go ahead.
For some reason, you take offense to this.
A little bit. There's a little bit more from the Hill. Let's get this out there. Then we'll get to your calls. We promise. The comments echoed past remarks by Trump, who has routinely deployed anti-immigrant rhetoric and sought to crack down on a number of migrants entering the country while he was president. Trump on Saturday held a rally in New Hampshire at which he claimed immigrants were pouring into the United States and poisoning the blood of our country. All over the world, they're coming into our country from Africa, from Asia, all over the world, Trump said, suggesting it would lead to increases in crime and terrorism. Wasn't there a song? Coming to America. We may play that one. The same night Trump.
I heard that song this weekend. Did you really? On the Bug Retro Neil Radio.
Diamond. Yeah, man, Neil Diamond. The same night, according to The Hill, Trump wrote in all capital letters on Truth Social, immigration is poisoning the blood of our nation. So said it once, said it again, and then followed up with an all caps tweet. There you go. I mean, if you don't get it, you know, I don't know what else to tell you. He's telling you exactly who he is. He's that snake, right? He's the snake that bit you. We've heard that story. So strange. Look it up sometime.
He tells the story.
He reads the poem. He tells you who he is over and over and over again. So when you wonder when everything that Trump touches dies, it's because he's a snake and it's poisonous and it dies. And Andrew Hitt, you know that from Wisconsin, and all you electors, anybody that backed him up, anyone that was in his White House and his cabinet, what do they all say about him? What's the response once they're out, once they get some backbone, once they're unfettered and can say what they want? He's a loser. He's an idiot. He's a racist. He's pathological. He's a narcissist, authoritarian. That was Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House, Republican, who merged his agendas with Donald Trump. You know, I mean, come on. You don't got to hear me saying it. Just listen to everybody who has ever known him.
844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
Hi, Jack.
Yeah, well, first of all, if anybody has the right to say that immigrants poisoned this country, it's the Native Americans.
Right.
Trump has already poisoned this country by producing several offspring that are mini Trumpites, as far as I can tell. Finally, Andrew Hitt. Yeah, boy. Oh, yeah, they just told us we're backups in case. Excuse me? Before you signed that document that said, unlawfully said, you were electors for this state, before that happened, something else happened. Our state Supreme Court said Trump lost. So you weren't backup. Now, whatever you were, if you were representing yourself for the state of Wisconsin, that's fraud.
So, Jack,
fraud, if I, you're right.
As you would define it, do you think Andrew Hitt knew he was acting in a criminal fashion without contingency language in the document he signed? Or is he just really dumb as a lawyer? Which do you think it is? Because one or the other must be true here. Either he knew he was a criminal, or he's a god-awful lawyer who would take the advice of, what, Rudy Giuliani? Which is it?
Well, I was married to a lawyer for a while, and she was pretty smart. I suspect you can't be that stupid and get through law school. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But I think he acted knowing full well what he was doing. That's just my personal opinion for what it's worth.
Well, the answers, Jack, really appreciate you listening to us. But the answers he gives, I find them less than fulfilling.
Well,
it's like eating dinner and being hungry again an hour later. It's just, it's like Chinese food.
Would you rather be known as perhaps a little foolhardy, perhaps a little naive, maybe a little ignorant about some things? Or would you rather be known as being a corrupt attorney who knowingly engaged in a state, multi-state, national conspiracy in an attempt to overthrow the greatest democracy this world has ever known? I think I'd take the ignorant stance as well if I were him.
Well, I tell you what, right up until the end, it worked out pretty well for Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn, of course, was Joe McCarthy's attorney, but Roy Cohn was also a mentor to Donald Trump, who then abandoned him because he died of AIDS and he was gay. But Roy Cohn, man, he was sinister. He was a badass. He was as corrupt and as evil as they came. And, you know, if the option was to be as brilliant but evil as Roy Cohn, or be as buffoonish as one must believe that Andrew Hitt is, to believe that he was tricked into signing these documents without any contingency language. I mean, come on, man. That it wasn't like you were clicking through on the warranty on your iPhone, dude. You know what I mean? These were printed documents.
Yeah. Whatever.
You got a strange guy. You got four armed guards and a strange dude videotaping you've never seen before. You've got reason to be suspicious. And there's no red flags going up.
I mean, in hindsight, you know, I mean, if I...
In hindsight, he'd do it again.
What I know now.
Let's make sure we sneak Mark in here. He's been patient. Mark from the SAC, welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, well, not only were they really wrong, they're really most sincerely wrong. I mean, to borrow that line from the cornerstone from the Wizard of Oz, it is just unbelievable that this guy didn't know what was going on with armed guards, the secrecy. They pre-met at the Republican Party headquarters and marched up to the Capitol.
They took separate vehicles.
Yeah, it was uphill both ways and snowing. Sounded like my dad telling me a story when he was a kid.
To enter a locked building. And I can't tell you who, but one of our lobbyist friends swears to goodness, and I've heard this also in other press accounts, that it was Scott Fitzgerald. It was Fitzgerald's team that got them the clandestine meeting room.
In the Capitol. Now Congressman Scott Fitzgerald.
Well, and he, of course, was sworn in on January 5th, and then he went against the vote in Arizona and whatever. Him and Tiffany only didn't go against Wisconsin because no senator would object. Come back. Would've. Don't object. More devils.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
QS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always be a part of this historic show by calling 844-967-2789.
Real quick, want to throw a headline out before we get back to them. 3 in 10 Trump voters want a president willing to break rules and laws. Only 30%, really. I think that's sort of an underestimate, but let me read briefly from the Post.
Which laws are allowed to be broken? I'm curious.
Well, the one against, you know, the peaceful transfer of power, you know, that's just patriotism at its finest. You know, unless you're a Capitol Police officer and you've been bear sprayed or clubbed. Let me read. It's been evident for a long time that Republicans and supporters of Donald Trump especially take more of a no-holds-barred approach to politics than Democrats do. They're much more likely to say political violence can be justified, for instance. It's also become clear that Trump being convicted of a felony is not a red line for the vast majority of them.
Wow.
Remember I told this... the story of Scott Fitzgerald, like how many credible allegations of rape must Trump have against him before he's crossed a line with you, now Congressman Fitzgerald. And we never did get to establishing a firm, hard line in the sand. But I read on. Dom, there's a new Foxy News poll this weekend. It phrased the question thusly. You know, you wonder about how many of the Trumpsters might be violent. 3 in 10-ish. Fox News polling question. Some people say things in the U.S. are so far off track that we need a president willing to break some rules and laws to set things right. While others say the president should always follow the rules and laws, which comes closest to your view? Oh, damn. Do I really want to know the outcomes? Well, voters who supported Trump in 2020 were about twice as likely to endorse the breaking all the rules view as the 2020 Biden backers. All you compliant suckers. The suckers don't break laws, Dom.
Suckers and losers.
While 65% of Trump backers said a president should always follow the rules and the law, 30% said breaking rules and laws could be justified. This is not speeding to get to grandma's house on time. I don't think that's the rules and the laws they were talking about. A little bit more here. The split among Biden voters, 83-15, against breaking the rules and the laws. If that part's not obvious to you, the listener, and the new poll builds on previous polling showing a greater appetite on the right for disregarding the usual guardrails. Just beat his ass, right? Trump was saying that at the rallies. I'll pay your legal fees.
If you see anybody throw a tomato, just knock the hell out of them, okay? I'll pay your legal fees. Yes, yes, of course. So this is more of the same. I mean, that's all it is.
The new Fox News poll, Tom, broke new ground in adding a significant phrase.
Ooh, what is it?
Laws. It's not just breaking the rules. It's breaking the laws.
Breaking the law.
Should the president break the law? Should the president, you know, break the Constitution? And 3 in 10 of their viewers say, hell yeah. Respondents weren't just being asked about violating some longstanding political or governmental norms or testing the bounds of a president's constitutional prerogatives. They were asked whether doing something illegal is theoretically justified. And while nearly two-thirds of the Trump 2020 backers disagreed, 30% is a huge sentiment of America. America, yeah. should drop the A there. And unlike the 2016 poll, there doesn't seem to be a substantial divide between Republicans who back Trump in the primaries and other Republicans. The number for Trump 2024 primary backers specifically is 28%. That's lower than the greater Republican field. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not just the Trumpsters. It's the party at large. Andrew Hitt earlier today in his less than convincing self-serving truth tour on the WISN this weekend, Dom. Well, the Andrew Hitt, he wasn't convincing. And, you know, he's still a Republican. And although he said he wouldn't vote for Trump, he'd vote for anyone else that wanted to have a soft coup.
Well, as long as he wasn't tricked into joining in. I want to throw this one out there quickly. This is from, December 4th of 2022. So just over a year ago, the headline over at the PBS, Trump rebuked for call to terminate Constitution over 2020 election results. He made the claim over the weekend back then, a year ago, on his Truthy Social, quote, a massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Our great founders, quote unquote, did not want and would not condone false and fraudulent elections. Making the call to terminate rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution, said that a year ago.
On day one.
Just a dictator for just one day. Don't worry about it. Everything will be fine. 844-967-2789. Let's get back to our callers. Ross from Soldiers Grove, you are up. Welcome, Ross. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ross.
Hey, you guys. Maybe two comments. I, without really knowing that Hitt, this Hitt guy, other than what I've listened to and learned about from you guys, I just think of him as part of this Giuliani, part of the pillow guy, part of a number of these guys that get swept up with all this political fervor. And I think they just never thought that it would ever get as bad as it did. And so I think,
I don't think he was a true believer, Ross. I think that would be giving him too much legal credit for gullibility. I don't think he was tricked. I think he knowingly went along. He knew he was breaking some rules. He never thought he was going to get called on it. And he thought, well, hell, you know, if this goes my guy's way, there might be a nice little appointment in it for me.
Right. Exactly right. And so he doesn't really have to, you know, he can just sort of half ask for an excuse or half ask for because it doesn't really matter if he admits complete guilt. If he says, look, I was lying to you the whole time, I was just in it for, he doesn't have to say that because the way the court case went or whatever, he doesn't really have to admit it. But we all know that he's smart enough to know. The only other comment I was going to make was regarding, I think with Trump and his little poisoning the blood comment about immigration, I really feel like, you know, in the past I've used the Nazi word, but I think that is kind of strong. But I think we're watching America walk towards a fascist system, or at least a fascist type of government within our democratic way, however that's going to work out, because Trump knows that he can say these comments because he doesn't really have to worry about losing Republican voters. The Americans are fairly patriotic, especially the old style Republicans, the Paul Ryans, the Mitt Romneys, the guy from Arizona. Those old style Republicans are so darn patriotic that they're going to vote. And it would, you know, what would it take? What would Trump have to say to get those people to say, look?
Yeah, I mean, Ross, thank you for the call. We're going to run out of time. I don't want to just interject, though. Some of those very patriotic Republicans you speak of, they're not voting for Donald Trump. They've come out against him very strongly, at least now, if not then.
Come on, join us. It would feel so much better to not vote for Donald Trump. Be on the good team. It's too much losing. 844 967-2789.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A blustery day in southeast Wisconsin. The windy weather's been causing problems for much of the day. Wind gusts got as high as 40 miles an hour at the Waukesha Airport this afternoon. Power was knocked out to as many as 3,000 homes and businesses at one point. Even some traffic lights went dark. But crews have restored electricity to practically everyone since then. Governor Evers might consider sending the National Guard into understaffed state prisons. That's what some advocates and families of inmates would like him to do. The Department of Corrections says state prisons in Wisconsin are 29% short-staffed. Advocates say that's making conditions isolated, dangerous, dirty, and generally unhealthy behind bars. Evers' office has not indicated what he might do. I'm Terry Bell. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Lawmakers from Wisconsin and Minnesota have sent a bipartisan letter to United States Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg calling for federal funding to rebuild the Blatnik Bridge. The bridge connects Superior, Wisconsin and Duluth, Minnesota, and according to Senator Amy Klobuchar, it serves 33,000 cars a day and transports about $4 billion worth of goods each year. The bridge is about 60 years old. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz have also requested federal funding for repairs. The body of a man who had been reported missing was found over the weekend in northwest Wisconsin. According to officials from the Polk County Sheriff's Office, the missing person was reported to them on Sunday afternoon. The man had reportedly not come home after last being seen driving a UTV in the area. Deputies searched the rural Amory area and eventually found the man, who was pronounced deceased at the scene. Officials say he likely lost control of his UTV and struck a tree in the area. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Bucks basketball on tap. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks homestand continues with two more games. They host the Spurs tomorrow night, then the Orlando Magic on Thursday. Milwaukee with a four-game winning streak. NFL, the Packers lost 34-20 to Tampa Bay. Quarterback Baker Mayfield had played at Lambeau Field with two other teams, the Browns and the Rams, and in his third consecutive trip to Green Bay, he finally got a win with the Buccaneers.
Third time's a charm, that's for sure. Our team was really prepared to come in here, mentality to come in here with one job in mind, and just to find a way to win.
Mayfield threw four touchdowns, 381 yards through the air, and a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3. I spoke to his favorite target, Chris Godwin, who had 10 catches for 155 yards.
Like I said, we got a lot of grit on this team.
Is it just me, or somewhere about 20 yards downfield off tackle, there's a spot with your name on it?
Yeah.
What was going on today?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's Buccaneers wide receiver Chris Godwin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds for tonight, lows into the single digits. More sunshine than clouds with a little less wind for tomorrow, highs in the low 30s. Sunshine's back and warming up to the mid-30s on Wednesday. Clouds return Thursday, high upper 30s with a slight chance of rain. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit BugTussle.com to get started. BugTussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the Monday happier happy hour Dom Philibump over at the Washington Post tells me the issue isn't Hitler. The issue is the rights shift since 2015, primarily on immigration. I want to put some of this out for the record and also remind you, this show is always great when you participate at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. That's a Devil's Advocate's original, is it not, Dom?
Yeah, baby. I came over that all by myself.
Mark Short, who served as Vice President Mike Pence, Chief of Staff during the Trump administration, has in the past been critical of his former boss's former boss.
What a former bossing going on there.
Well, his former boss, Mike Pence's former boss, is Trump, right? And when Donald Trump disparaged former cabinet official Elaine Chao, who resigned from Trump's administration after the Capitol riot, Short noted that the comments constituted a racial slur. In response to comments over the weekend in which the former president raged that immigrants were poisoning the blood of the United States, though, Short offered a figurative shrug. Trump has an advantage over President Biden in the polls, Short noted. And besides, here's Mark Short's quote, Dom. I think it's highly unlikely that Donald Trump has ever read Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler's 1925 manifesto. This had the effect of neutralizing a central focus of the criticism Trump has faced for his comments, that they echo Hitler's rhetoric. But of course, if you discount and say, well, yeah, but he never read a book.
Well, that's even, I don't know what's worse. Say he doesn't know what he's saying. Let's say he doesn't know that the words that are coming out of his mouth are, in fact, very similar to some of the worst dictator, authoritarian, fascist types that have ever walked the earth. You know what I'm saying? So that means it's coming from him organically. You know what I mean? That means he really, really means it. It's not that he read it. If he didn't read it, he's coming up with it on his own. But at the end of the day, authoritarian racism is not anything new.
Dom, but that's not the issue, according to this article, in part because it's relatively easy, as it was for Short, to otherwise differentiate Trump from the German dictator. The issue instead is that Trump's language, somehow how much and how far hostility to immigration has evolved and grown in the United States, you know, thanks largely to Trump himself. The 2016 presidential election was a crucial pivot point in American history, not only because of Trump's unexpected victory, it was a period in which extreme right gained new power and prominence. Again, not only because Trump won, that included extreme anti-immigrant rhetoric. In 2014, there was a surge in immigration to the United States, driven by young people seeking safety from violence in Central America. The Obama administration scrambled to contain, and Republicans were eager to exacerbate the Democratic president's difficulty. But that didn't occur in a vacuum. It happened as violence in the Middle East pushed immigrants into Europe, stoking anti-immigrant sentiment there. It came at a point when the Republican Party was already facing backlash from its base in the form of the still potent Tea Party, a backlash focused on undermining the party's establishment. It also came as the establishment trying to figure out how to respond to the first black president, right, Dom? Barack Obama's unexpected 2012 election was exploring taking a more lenient approach to immigration. And all of this occurred as Americans were newly cognizant of how the country's demography was changing. The Census Bureau's determination that white Americans would lose majority status in future decades, it says here, Dom, lit a fuse on concerns about immigration, in which demographers' description, a determination that overlapped with Obama's election in the first place. So you got your first black president, you got some scary stuff coming from the census people that, you know, we're going to be a white minority nation soon.
I mean, that's scary to some folks, I guess.
Trump didn't generate hostility to immigration from thin air when he announced his candidacy in 15. He was echoing and elevating what had already been burbling in right-wing media. immigration was a clear dividing point between establishment and fringe Republicans. And Trump's rhetoric was a clear message to that growing powerful fringe. Post-election analysis determined that the news outlet that earned the most shares from Republicans and those on the right during the 16th cycle wasn't Fox News, which had long been closely allied to the establishment. Do you know what number one was, Dom?
Yes.
Breitbart.
Breitbart. I'll jump in here, Crudy. From 2013 to 2016, nearly 6% of Breitbart articles indexed by Google mentioned immigration or the border. At Fox News's website, it was less than one half of a percent. Half a percent. Breitbart's executive chairman, Steve Bannon, went to work for Trump after he was inaugurated as president. His rhetoric mirrored that of his site. Immigration was one of his focal points in the White House. This was someone who had lamented that a fifth of the country was made up of immigrants, which it wasn't and isn't. Bannon was further down the fringe right track than Trump, but the president was following behind. Trump's election empowered anti-immigrant voices, as was manifested in Charlottesville in August of 2017. White nationalists rallied there, at one point chanting, "The Jews will not replace us." The "us" was white people, and the chant, too, was just a bit ahead on the path. Trump's election marked the end of the battle between the establishment and the right-wing fringe. The fringe had won. The establishment fought to demonstrate its fealty to Trump's base, which meant that most right-wing elements, of the electorate. That included Fox News. The channel, eager to appeal to Trump's loyal constituency, shifted to focus more heavily on immigration. That included boosting Trump's efforts in the middle of his administration to build a wall and repeatedly elevating concerns about immigrants shortly after elections. In the same month that Trump won the election, the network elevated Tucker Carlson to a host of primetime show. Carlson, like Bannon, spoke the language of the fringe right, even if it wasn't as apparent at the outset. He and his team, which included several people later linked to white nationalism, increasingly elevated framing and stories that were popular in fringe right and anti-immigrant conversations. That framing would trickle up to the White House. It was Carlson who made up the Great Replacement Theory, the idea that nefarious actors were intentionally trying to bring immigrants to the United States to shift the country's demography, a subject of national conversation. The idea quickly gained traction with Republican voters and, by extension, with Republican officials eager to appeal to that base. It wasn't usually the Jews won't replace us, just that they wouldn't in some form or another. Then the issue of immigration became more salient. After a pandemic-related lull in 2020, Trump lost re-election. Joe Biden became president. The number of people seeking to come to the United States soared, though the numbers are often exaggerated, including by Trump. Fox News began covering immigration breathlessly. The channel has already mentioned immigration, immigrants, or the border 6% more often than it did during the entirety of Trump's time in office. After mentioning immigration less than CNN and MSNBC under Trump, it has mentioned it 75% more often, than his two competitors combined since Biden became president in 21, just as he did. The outset of his 2016 campaign, Trump quickly leaned into anti-immigrant rhetoric as his 2024 bid began to gear up. But now that rhetoric has shifted dramatically to the right. His 2015 disparagements of criminal immigrants coming into the country have become entirely unabashed. My apologies. His extreme White House-era claims offered in support of building a wall, like the threat of terrorist incursions, had become background noise. He'd occasionally describe immigrants in dehumanizing terms as president. He seemingly has no qualms about doing so regularly now. This is what's important. It's not that Trump is saying things Hitler did, though he is. It's that he's doing so as someone who has promised his heavily white base retribution, quote unquote, and who has made obvious his intent to step outside the bounds of presidential power when he can. He's using his rhetoric as he and his aides reportedly discuss how to deploy the military against immigrants, including building internment camps. He's again reflecting the verbiage of the fringe. That verbiage has shifted well to the right over the past 8 years. Trump fought tooth and nail to constrain and demonize immigrants as president, but hit walls both internally and externally. Now he knows how to get around the internal barriers more easily, and the external debate is now unfolding on a much friendlier, more extreme terrain. It's that, not simply the comparisons to Hitler's rhetoric, that's worrisome. writes Philip Bump over at the Washington Post. And I got to, you know, it is, it's almost like, oh, it's just another thing he said today. Oh, here we go again, over and over. You know, you hear it. The first time I was like, oh my God, this Shaq is terrible. And then I was like, you know, 5 years later, oh, he said that again. It's normalizing, and we can't let it be normalized.
As Jack from the Mac writes on the text line, I agree. Trump probably hasn't read Mein Kampf. I doubt he ever read anything that's not 90% pictures, but he probably stole the lines from his fascist Proud Boy or Oath Keeper buddies. Mm-hmm. And then here's another keen observation from the 608. 50% of lawyers graduated in the bottom of their class. And Trump gets the best people, doesn't he, Dom?
He sure does.
844-967-2789. Dick, welcome back. What do you got for us, Dick?
Hey, Dick.
You know how we're constantly supposed to try and understand that other side. You know, about a week and a half ago, he gave a speech in which he said that the Mexican military built the wall. I'm sure you guys hadn't heard this one. They built it and paid for it. And then to prove these people are such zombies to sit there and lap up anything, then he goes into the next rant is, if I'm reelected, I'll take care of this border crisis. Well, you just said you did. You built the wall, the panacea for everything. But just something fascinating I found that proves this party's been kind of vulnerable to this type of thing, might I say, for a long time. I found this old article from 1963.
Easy, you're starting to sound like Dave from Mequon, but go ahead.
Well, this is classic. Here's William F. Buckley said about Eisenhower, that it's now clear we're away from the burden of him. But the best one in here is switching from Kennedy to Rockefeller would be like leaving spoiled diapers on a baby and changing the safety pins. I mean, you know, this is a whole article on the John Birch Society and all of that nonsense that was going on in the early 60s. Yep. And it's scary stuff. It's some of the weirdest stuff. I haven't read the whole thing, but I'm going to read it. It's weird. Out there.
Do you have a paper form, Dick?
Yes, I do. It was in.
Because I feel like I'm learning a lot about you, Dick. You're apparently a hoarder. You've got articles from 1963 in your home.
I was out visiting in Kansas City over a long weekend. Went out there last Thursday.
You got hoarder friends in the KC area?
Yes, I do. And we went into one of these antique stores, and this thing just jumped off the page, or off the thing. It says, "The radical right invades the GOP."
And what year was that? That's the headline. What year is that, Dick?
It's from the summer before the 64 election. It's from July of 1963. I was 7 years old. It's crazy. I have to read the whole thing. I mean, it's just beyond belief what these little thing. And Buckley's in it, and so is the founder of the John Birch Society. And it's a long article. It's like 4 pages.
Don't read it all in one sitting, Dick.
It's gonna take a long time in the bathroom to get through that one, Dick.
Dom's still working on the Mueller report.
But to the point, though, right? I mean, it's not like this is the first conversation we've had or this country has gone through about, you know, the extreme right taking over the GOP. I mean, it's new to us because we're living it now. But these questions have been asked and answered in the past. And hopefully with the hindsight of history, we won't have to go through what we went through in order to purge fascism from our ranks in the past.
Did you say axed and answered? You know, I'm sure you did. I got a full color flyer from my congressman at the Love Shack. I'm going to tell you about it when we come back. And last chance for your calls, 844-96-PARTY.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Todd Alma Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say it, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power. Our veterans.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alma Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Devils and Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you playing along. You can join us on our last segment today at 844-967-2789. But don't touch that dial. Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show, coming up at 6 o'clock.
She's damn good, Tom. Kind of like this shiny, full-color flyer for my Lake Shack, Love Shack, Congressman Glenn Grothman up in the 6th CD of the great state of Wisconsin.
Love. Nothing says Love Shack like a big, full-color picture of Glenn Grothman, Congressman Grothman.
Well, here's what he claims, Tom. He's investigating potential corruption, you know, like the IRS whistleblower testimony regarding IRS alleged foul play in the Hunter Biden investigation.
What?
He's also down for Glenn Grothman, my Love Shack congressman, is down for exposing the crisis at the southern border. Now he's down
I know. All those Wisconsinites running to Illinois to get that legal weed. It's a problem. We could just legalize it here, Glenn, and not have to worry about that southern border.
Tear down your wall. Protecting Israel and the people of faith. Well, that seems noble, except I believe Ron Johnson, your colleague, is kind of blocking the whole works. And then, Dom, a little constituent survey. Just a couple questions, then we'll get back to the phones. 844-967-2789. Please complete and return this survey today. Very handsome Glenn Grothman. Button that top button, Congressman. But anyways.
Is he wearing a tie?
He is.
What color is the tie?
Red and blue striped. Light blue. And banker pinstripe. And then just sort of a lost look on his face, like, look over here. Where's the meatloaf? Please complete the survey. Once finished, use a first-class stamp and drop it in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Give
me more of your money.
What issue is most important to you? Securing the border, balancing the budget, protecting the Second Amendment, fixing our economy, lowering inflation, cutting government regulation, and there's another category. So I'm going to use the other category to say helping Congressman Glenn Grothman lose his virginity. I'd really like to, Glenn, this should be your year, 2024. Let's make it your year, Glenn.
Sounds like risky business to me, man.
Here's another one. Do you support sending financial aid to Israel for their national defense? Yes, no, unsure. And finally, Dom, the federal government is borrowing about 22% of its budget, an unsustainable amount. Knowing this, would you agree to cuts in the Department of Education, Green New Deal initiatives? These are all Democratic programs he wants to cut, you'll note. Tax credits for electric cars. Ooh, national defense on there. Welfare, of course, pick on poor people. They're causing the budget deficits. Bureaucrats promoting divisive diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives.
Man, how dare you talk about how tough people of color have had it in this country.
And then, you know, subsidies to local governments. And then Finally.
Is there an option to repeal the Bush and Trump tax cuts?
No,
that's not
have to create another category helping Glenn lose his virginity in 2024. I'm putting
That's very sweet of you, man.
I mean, we met Glenn. I asked him this question. Haven't you ever chased a teenage girl around the backseat of your dad's car? Because he's very anti-abortion and, women should all have the babies. And I was trying to get a real life example. Glenn, have you never fooled around in the backseat of dad's car? And that's when Glenn left the studio and said something to the effect, no, I'm sorry, I got to leave now. I got a fundraiser in Fond du Lac.
It's an interesting way to bring up a question to humanize it.
I was trying to meet Glenn where he is.
If you're going to be the one to help Glenn lose his virginity, I support you and appreciate you. And, I respect you.
It may take a trip to Nevada in the legal brothel industry.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were just going
to
help.
Wait. Here's a quote. And then we'll get to the callers. Appreciate your patience. Holding President Biden and his administration accountable is one of my most important duties. It's your representative in Congress. Apparently the only one. Extreme liberal policies are threatening our Wisconsin values and way of life. I hope you will take the time to learn how I'm leading efforts to get us back on track. Glenn Grothman, the Trumpiest Trumpster in the U.S. Congress. Mathematically speaking, 844-967-2789. Appreciate your patience. Annie from Watertown, welcome back.
Hi, Annie.
Never mind the numbers, but I'm just thinking, just the question, are you for or against a president who breaks the law? That would even be on a polling question in the United States of America is just, in itself pretty wild. I don't know, can't get out of my head.
Where do you think Glenn Grothman would come down on that scale? Is he forzy? Or against thee?
Well, if it happened in the backseat of a car, he'd be against it.
What if it happened on Capitol Hill on January 6th and it was his guy trying to overturn the election? Would he be for it then?
Well, he wasn't there. He doesn't know.
Yes, and they never see any of Trump's Twitter and right. Or read any of the bad stuff he says about the vermin.
About the language, Annie. It's all about the results. Real quick, and thank you for the call, Annie. What was it? It was Senator Lindsey Graham was on, and he was asked about the terminology, the phrasing, the verbiage. Donald Trump over the weekend continuing to talk about the poison in the blood, the very fascistic Nazi kind of talk. And his response is, it's just not the language. It's really about the results. I'm thinking to myself, first thing that popped in my head, it's like, remember what they used to say about Mussolini? Hey, they cut the trains on time. You know what I'm saying? What, dude? Are you got to be kidding me? Of course it's about the language. 844-967-2789. Steven from Green Bay, you will have the last word today. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Steven.
Hey, I just got to say, Glenn Grothman maybe should go south of the border and get some of that wacky-devacky, and he would be enlightened.
For the legalization of the recreational marijuana. We've asked him through the years.
Well, he's not for a lot of things that make sense, so I'm not surprised. I will say this about Glenn Grothman. I used to live in his district that he represents, and I don't live there anymore because it's a very scary place to be. A lot of conservatives, and me being a liberal, I had to get out of there as soon as I could. And then I moved to Green Bay, which is just as bad. So I don't know what I did, but that's all I got to say.
You can't fear our conservative friends. You just got to show them a better way. I think it all starts with getting Glenn Grothman laid for 2024.
And listening to the Devil's Advocates, man, tell all your friends. Some say the greatest radio show ever.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.